Good morning. 00 hours.
Cloudy.
59 degrees. Good morning. 01:00.
Cloudy.
57 degrees. Good morning. 02:00.
Cloudy.
58 degrees. Good morning. 03:00.
Cloudy.
59 degrees. Good morning. 04:00.
Cloudy.
60 degrees. Good morning. 05:00.
Cloudy.
61 degrees. Good morning. 06:00.
Cloudy.
60 degrees. Good morning. 07:00.
Cloudy.
60 degrees. Good morning. 08:00.
Cloudy.
60 degrees.
Thanks, baby.
Node 2586 connected to node 502018.
NAWV, Michael. NAWT from NAWV.
Node 2586 disconnected. Good morning. 09:00.
Mostly cloudy.
64 degrees. Good morning. 10:00.
Mostly cloudy.
65 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 66 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 70 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly sunny. 74 degrees. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly cloudy. 73 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 75 degrees. Good afternoon, 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 75 degrees. Good afternoon, 1700 hours. Cloudy. 75 degrees.
Drop a link, which I don't have any up right now.
I just looked at the 523 Supermon, and I only see myself connected. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, LBV. I'm driving now, so I'll be getting closer to it. I can try it for a couple of minutes when I'm down here to 94.
Okay, Steve. Yeah, I was thinking maybe by All Star. All right, I'll be listening here. WQP a day.
I'll be here listening for a couple minutes and I'll look.
Okay, Supermon, I can do that as well. I have Supermon access. I'm going to get to PT.
LBV right here at Metro Airport. I guess I'm not quite noisy enough here. Sounds pretty good. I'll try that one. I hope I dial the right number though. LBV is still here, maybe 5-ish minutes from home.
Well, it seems like it took infinity plus one to get Asterisk to restart here. But it sounds, and from what I can tell back monitoring, well, like the hiccups are gone.
Yeah, I thought I heard one slight one there, but nothing like before at the very end.
Yeah, we've had some weird glitches with the ASL box. We used one of the Wise boxes with the ASL image. I normally use the Raspberry Pis with the ham VoIP. And I haven't had haven't really had any issues anywhere, but yeah, this one's been kind of a pain. I just have to wonder if we don't maybe have some dirty power there. I've got a commercial UPS here that I'd be more than willing to donate to the cause, but it needs some new batteries.
Okay. Hey, that time was flawless, right? There were no dimples on the audio that time. And are you guys using simple USB, or are you using the regular one that does all the DSP and the software?
You know, that's a good question. I don't remember. Honestly, Fred, the FSM set up the box. Jeff SWR brought it down. I built made the USB interface. And, you know, to interface it to the old MiCore there. Yes, 523 is still running a MiCore. But I don't remember whether it was run of the regular or the simple.
Hey, LBV. Well, hey, MiCores are pretty cool. And you get a nice, the receiver deck that you get is way more suited for building top stuff than as a something like a MaxTrack or whatever.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Because the original controller in the MiCore, it got flaky. Couldn't trust it. I brought it home, put it on the bench, and could not make the damn thing fail. It's like, well, you know, problems that go away like magic come back like magic. So I wound up, we were running a desk track on the repeater for several years with an MRC 100 on it, you know. It just sat there and played, but of course, you know, the RF performance wasn't the best, but, you know, it was generally stable.
Yeah, I think the MaxTracks work really, really good. They do have a nice, I mean, they're more modernized, or they have a smaller can, though. They have a nice front end and all that. You got to do a real, real, real challenging RF environment. I have a feeling the MiCore, you know, receiver could do a few more tricks than the MaxTrack one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There were a few times I knew that dust track receiver was getting hammered a little by something. But, at least the VHF environment is nowhere near as bad as it used to be. I guess back when VHF pagers were a big thing, the digital pagers and that I guess it used to be a very, very bad site for that. That was before I came to Michigan, though. But, yeah, really, you know, the desk track didn't play too bad. But, yeah, it didn't like the heavy-duty cycle either, you know. Those things really aren't built for that, so. If the net ran a little long, which it seldom does, you could tell it was getting a little grumpy.
Yeah, heading back to the... I think I mentioned it last conversation, but the old 305 repeater that ran for well over 10 years without a hitch was a little, you know, one of those two desktop radios. You'll remember it was that pole mount thing. Our whatever it was, R200 or R1000. And then we had a Micor mobile PA on it. Set it like, we had it set for like 65, 60 watts, somewhere like that. And I literally had three, they were high quality, but they were, you know, computer muffin fans, tie wrapped to the heat sink with a little bit of RQD silicone. I think that thing played for 10 years. And the PA never failed. One of the radio we were using was Insider. We had it set for 10 watts. That PA failed after 10 plus years. I think the thing ran for 12 years.
You know, that's not a bad way to go. You know, if you don't have a tough RF environment, it's not a bad way to go. Honestly, after I got tired of fixing the Master 2 on the 4.1 repeater here, I retired the Master 2, and I'm running MaxTrack receiver, GM300 exciter. It's one of the real, genuine low power original from the factory, not the low power mod, but a real, 7-8 watt, GM300. So it doesn't draw the extra current, generate the extra heat, and I'm driving a Micor PA with it. I moved the input coax up a couple of stages, and it just plays.
NAWD. You know, in a lot of cases, those mobile radios are probably going to be, if you're running a home repeater or home base, they're going to be a little more, generally a little more sensitive than that Micor receiver is out of the box, right? And then, like in our case, we had the standard 4-can Motorola pass-notch duplexer on it. So that effectively gave you a really high-quality front end, as well as you're performing the duplexing task.
Yeah, they definitely are a little hotter out of the box than the Micors or the Master 2s. Unless they had the factory preamp, that really jazzed them up a bit. But yeah, it just plays here. I'm running a set of Wacom, for can, PPR. And so I got a good set of duplexers on it as well. There are days where I would like to get something that I'm a little more willing to admit to what the hardware on the back end is, but you see, it actually performs really well. We don't have an ugly RF environment here in Milan, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, and I'm just going out on a limb here. I'm going to speculate that I do remember that MaxTrack factory preamp. I think it had a single can of its own, right? It went into there was a slot in there, a spot where it fit, in the receiver casting or chassis or whatever that thing was. I haven't worked on these since the 90s, so we're going back 30 plus years. I do have pretty good memories as a kid, though. But I'm going to venture to say that preamp was not, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to venture that preamp was engineered to be used in a mobile application when you're way, way, way out there somewhere versus it probably wasn't designed for tower top use, was it?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what application they would design for. It seems like it would be a little more useful in the mobile application, but to get them in the station. On the Master 2, I've got in the receiver, which actually still works, performs well. I just took the whole chassis out of the rack, but that had the factory preamp in it. And that, so for Master 2, that thing was actually pretty darn sensitive. And yeah, only one additional can and
or filter stage in front of it, but they definitely did make a difference. You know, and they, like the Micors and the Master 2s, they were out there, but they weren't very common.
Yeah, Benny LVV. Yeah, this is probably more of a dinner table discussion, but something a company I worked for used to do when I was a kid was we ran 800 repeaters, and we did two antennas, and we had a up on top of the tower at the receive antenna was a thermal controlled box, right, with a receive filter in there, you know, a can and everything, and a RF preamp, low noise preamp. Right at the antenna, or on the other, you know, we had a can filter right at the antenna. Then we had a low noise preamp right after that can filter. You know, it was like really expensive, top notch stuff that was available then. And then we had that amplified filtered signal come down the 400 foot down the tower to the bottom, and that fed a combiner that could feed. We fed like 7 or 8 receivers off of that. And they were relatively, you know, they were within the frequency range of that tower top filter and amp. It was, that thing worked unbelievably well. It sounds like a mess, but it sounds like more things to fail. But on 800 megahertz, we were seriously outdoing the 460 stuff on the same tower.
And it'll be V2PT. Oh, I don't doubt that. And the tower top amps, oh god, those are extremely common on 800. But see, for a long time the original MPSCS, there was only a couple of sites that had them. They were kind of rare. But as counties have joined the system and they get better coverage, and there was a couple of non-simulcast sites that had some of those added. To improve coverage, but yeah, they're very, very common now. It's rare to see a site added that does not have a tower top amp anymore. It's some high dollar stuff, but man, it's nice. You know, they got some window filters in them, and the newer stuff even has a test line. So you got your main, which actually frequently is 7/8 instead of 1 5/8 for the receive, because you pick up enough gain at the top that it'll overcome your feed line losses. You know, they can use a cheaper feed line. When you're saving a few bucks a foot times a couple hundred, 300, 400 feet, it adds up quick. But then there'll be a half-inch line that runs up the tower, goes into a test port, so you can inject a test signal in at the base and confirm your operation of it.
Yeah, very cool. I'm going to try that link again. I hear Tom call me on UHF. I'm going to bring that link up and have him say hi. Have you say hi, I guess, and let him, first of all, see if it's working. And then, that.
All right, go ahead. I'll stand by.
Macro not found.
Yeah, it doesn't like your first tone. The rest of them are muting, but your first one's not.
Okay, I'll try a few of the first one by itself. See what it is. I'll send a single one. Did that go through normal?
Oh, that muted.
Okay, I'll try like 5 in a row of that same tone and see if it mutes all of them. NAWV, all good there?
I guess, maybe it wasn't the first one, but there was one tone that was consistently not muting.
Okay, I'll try the next one. How about that?
That would be the one. if it's not muting.
Okay, I'll try five of them in a row. It's a three.
I think it might have muted for a moment towards the end of it, but yeah, it's not really liking that one.
Okay. I'll try a long press. Let me know if it doesn't mute at all or if it eventually mutes.
Nope, didn't mute at all. You know, if you want, I can go up and hit Supermon and, connect up whatever node you want.
You can do that if you want to chat with my buddy Tom for a while. Otherwise, I'm back home. He's on UHF. I can grab him on the HD. Do you think the tone problems on my end, is it overmodulated or anything? I can always look at it on the service monitor later. And of course, it's decoding on the other system, but...
You know, it doesn't really sound overmodulated. So I don't know. It didn't sound to the uncalibrated ear distorted or anything. You know, tough to say. I mean, there wasn't anything obvious. I guess if I had a service monitor to look at, if I was up on site and I could look at the audio, see if it was flat topping or something. But I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like a 3 to me. I mean, if it was a different combination of tones. I'm on a Chinese Anytone mobile, so I was about to reboot the radio and see if it still is, just generating the tones at a wrong level or something.
I was just thinking, well, maybe it's something in the 123 column or in the 369 column. That it doesn't like, but I know. I suppose the tone. Maybe it's hot. Yeah, I bought one of those the Chinese knockoffs of the APX 8000. Actually, I love that radio. I'm using it right now, but it's virtually unusable on DTMF. On wideband, the DTMF is 5.0 kilohertz. It's 2.5 on narrow.
Oh wow, it's eating all of the PHY. Yeah, and I certainly, the local, what do you call it, where you hear yourself dial, it's definitely a 3, or it sounds like a 3 anyway. If it was some other digit, I'd recognize it as not sounding like a 3.
Yep, so I don't know why it doesn't like it, but it definitely didn't like it. All right, hey, since you're in the driveway there, I'll let you get going. Mrs. probably wants a little help upstairs and eating up the kitchen. She gave me that look when I came upstairs for a second. Yeah, my son's girlfriend is in town from Indy. I think they're going to be coming over here this evening, so. Hey, LBV, W2PUT.
All right, Dan. Cool and fun chatting at you again. Take care, and until next time, which I suspect won't be very, very long, take care. W2PET, NAWB.
Yeah, you take care, too. W2PET, I'll be here clear for now.
Good evening, 1900 hours, cloudy, 72 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours, cloudy. 70 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. cloudy. 68 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy. 68 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 68 degrees.
KEA and KZ.